Chapter 2, The Six Transcendent Events of the Restoration. To end the long night of darkness that had engulfed the world, the Lord set in motion the glorious Latter-day Restoration. It came about in a regular, normal process, wrote Spencer W. Kimball. He said, an inspired 14-year-old boy had difficulty learning from the scriptures alone what the future was. In a dense grove of trees, he sought the Lord and prayed for wisdom. The time had come, and though the adversary, Satan, recognizing all the powers of eternity which would be revealed with the gospel, did everything in his power to destroy the lad and destroy the prospects of the restoration, in spite of him there came the splendid and magnificent vision to this pure, inquiring lad. Exerting all his powers, and with the strength of the Lord, the darkness was dispelled. Satan yielded, and the vision proceeded, with a pillar of light coming exactly over the boy's head, a light above the brightness of the sun, which gradually descended until it fell upon him. The young Joseph continues, it no sooner appeared than I found myself delivered from the enemy which held me bound. When the light rested upon me, I saw two personages, whose brightness and glory defy all description, standing above me in the air. One of them spake unto me, calling me by name, and said, pointing to the other, this is my beloved son, hear him. President Kimball continues, this formal introduction by the Father to the Son was most important, for this would be the world of Jesus Christ, and the Church of Jesus Christ, and the Kingdom of Jesus Christ. Questions were asked and answered, and eternal truths were given. It was made clear to the young, unspoiled Joseph that if he retained his worthiness and kept clean before the Lord, he would be responsible for the restoration of the church and the gospel and the power and authority of God. As maturity came to the young, unsullied man, there came also a flood, a deluge of ministrations from heaven. Commissions were given, authority was bestowed, information was given, and the revelations from on high continued almost without interruption, for the time had come. Conditions were ripe. Many people were ready to receive the truth in its fullness. In quick succession, there came other visitors, Peter, James, and John, men who last held the keys of the kingdom, the power of the priesthood, and the blessings of eternity, appeared to the young man and restored the power and authority which they had held on earth. John the Baptist, beheaded by Herod, but now a resurrected being, returned to the earth and laid hands on the prophet Joseph to give him the Aaronic priesthood. The great Moses of antiquity returned to the earth, a celestial being, and restored the keys of the gathering of Israel. Elijah, the prophet of the eternal work for the dead, returned to make way and prepare for the great temple work and for the restoration of the gospel to those who had died without an opportunity to hear it. The organizers of the church were told by the Lord, no one shall be appointed to receive commandments and revelations in this church, excepting my servant Joseph Smith, Jr., for he receiveth them even as Moses. Going on with President Kimball, and the prophet Moroni appeared unto Joseph and spent long hours explaining the peopling of the American continents by the Lehites and also the Book of Mormon, which would be unearthed and translated. This book would be a further testimony of the coming of Christ to America and would give testimony that Jesus was the Christ, the eternal God, for both Jew and Gentile. This record, the Book of Mormon, would help to establish the divinity of the Lord Jesus Christ. These were the beginnings of accomplishment, and the gospel was revealed line upon line and precept upon precept, and truths were restored, and power was given and authority was revealed, and gradually enough light and enough people were there for the organization of this kingdom of God which Daniel saw 2.5 millennia ago. This is the end of the quote from President Kimball. This grand system of restoration can be broken down into 6 transcendent events. First, the first vision. In response to Joseph Smith's prayer for divine guidance, the Father and the Son appeared and spoke to him in the spring of 1820. Second, the restoration of the gospel in the form of the Book of Mormon. Several years later, the angel Moroni delivered the plates from which the prophet Joseph translated the Book of Mormon, a new witness of Jesus Christ. It contains the fullness of the gospel, and its central message is Christ and his infinite and eternal atonement. Third, the restoration of the priesthood. Through angelic visitations, the Aaronic and Melchizedek orders of the priesthood were restored in 1829, making available the ordinances and covenants by which people can receive the blessings of Christ's gospel. Fourth, the restoration of the church. In April 1830, God's kingdom was again established upon the earth. For those who have entered into the covenant of baptism, the church provides a support system of fellow believers, opportunities for personal growth through service, and a vehicle for taking the gospel to all who will receive it on both sides of the veil. Fifth, the restoration of the keys to save the living and the dead. In 1836, other angelic ministers restored the keys of authority required to fulfill the threefold mission of the church: proclaiming the gospel, perfecting the saints, and redeeming the dead. These keys and purposes give focus and direction to all of the work performed in the Lord's kingdom. Sixth, the restoration of the temple ordinances. After the way had been prepared by the first five events, the Lord revealed the sacred ordinances of the temple. This aspect of the restoration was actually more a process than an event, taking place over a period of years in both Kirkland and Nauvoo. Because of these ordinances, eternal families can be created, and our Heavenly Father's children can obtain the fullness of the blessings He has prepared for them.